all of those things I thought I had already eaten.
We went out on Thursday night. We, like, bought a bunch of food. The stores were insane.
Yeah.
There's no bread anywhere. Like, none.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened. Super relevant
to you now.
We got it. We got it all. By the way, Julie went out at lunch. Got it all.
That was the time to go.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, because she bought like a bunch of like frozen shit and also bread and lunch meat because...
What if the power goes out?
Yeah.
With power goes out, just toss it outside.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But at least then you could still have something to eat because frozen pizza without a way to heat it up really is...
You need a bicycle-powered hair dryer.
That, yeah, I guess.
Nailed it.
I don't have any use for hair dryer any other time, though.
You don't blow out that mustache?
No. No.
Oh, well, can't solve all your problems, Tony.
No.
I trimmed my beard, and then I got to work, and I went to the bathroom, and then I realized that I missed, like, a stripe down the middle. So, like, it is the length it was before, and then everything else on the sides is not that length.
So you have an underhawk?
I have an underhawk. No one has said anything. It's not very noticeable.
No, it's not.
It's noticeable to me.
Yeah. Well, especially when you touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate when I trim my goatee and there's like a few, like one here and one over there that's just
because you shave, you're like, yeah, it's nice and sweet. Wait, what the fuck is that?
Where did that come from?
Yeah. If it's slightly like asymmetrical.
So, I don't know if we have anything to talk about next. Does anyone have any suggestions next week?
We should probably talk about Hidden Figures.
Have you guys seen it?
No.
No, but I want to.
I've seen
it. But since it just passed Star Wars, since it just passed Rogue One.
And didn't it win a bunch of awards at Golden Globes?
I don't know.
I know it was nominated.
I know it was nominated, but I thought it was only some of the actors that won. Like, I thought Olivia...
I don't actually pay attention to these things. I know that people kept calling it Hidden Fences, and everyone was super pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Because the only two black films.
Because the only two black films, yeah.
Couldn't get them right.
Yeah. Well, Julie was watching, and she's like, they call it Hidden Fences. I was like, that's not racist at all.
Octavia.
Yeah, people caught on
to
that. Olivia. What the fuck? I don't think this won any awards.
I didn't think it had.
I just heard about it being nominated a shit ton of times. And I heard that it surpassed Rogue One.
I can see why it was nominated. I can see why it didn't win.
Oh, Golden Globe. Oh, wait, hold on. This is just a nominee. Hold on. I'll find the wins.
Exciting.
There was, you know what, we'll just talk about it later. When we talk about it.
Like next week.
Now I gotta go see a movie this week.
On Martin Luther King Day in Edwardsville, Julie said she saw on Facebook somebody posted
On Martin Luther King's Day in Edwardsville, Julie saw somebody posted, this cannot end well.
It actually ended very well.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just assumed that this is going to be super racist. Somebody posted this burning cross.
No. Oh, there was a picture somebody took at the theater for the 4:25 show or whatever. All tickets were free because someone
donated so
that everyone could have a free ticket to the show.
Wait, that happened here?
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Was that the article that I saw about the Octavia chick buying out theaters for the underprivileged to go see?
I don't remember reading about that.
But that seems like an odd place to do it.
I don't know if it was just a larger thing though.
It could be somebody just doing it, a local business or something.
That's cool.
It was cool. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Kayla.
This is David.
Dude, we are the backseat producers.
What is Santa doing over there?
Don't you worry about it.
He's got his finger up and he's winking.
Yeah, that.
You know what he's doing with that cookie?
Yeah, it's a roofie not a cookie. Cookie. Yeah,
it's not a cookie. You can't see all of the dimensions of that.
It's ribbed. That cookie is ribbed.
For your pleasure.
For no one's pleasure.
For Santa's pleasure.
Santa's pleasure. Seems very pleased.
Yeah, Santa knows what's up.
Yeah, he does, and gross. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
Yeah, because that's when you start screaming.
Jesus Christ.
If he knows when you're awake, that means he knows when you're asleep.
Theoretically.
I mean.
Well, yeah. You coming in? Hey, buddy. That's not your squeaky ball. Sorry.
Well, this is bullshit. I'm out of here.
You don't have to take this anymore. The loudest toy he can.
Holden? Yeah. All right, so are we doing that next week then?
Yeah, we'll do Hidden Figures next week.
Perfect. We gotta see Hidden Figures this week. Yeah,
apparently.
Don't see Passengers. We're not talking about it.
I know enough about it.
There's only one.
I'll probably watch it at some point, like on Netflix, just to say that I've seen it. But
there's only one interesting discussion point in the movie. They pull a half measure on it, and then all of the glaring physics problems make no sense and are extremely distracting.
That sucks. And I think I know what the half measure is too, based on some other stuff I've heard. And that's a shame.
Yeah. The only interesting conflict in the movie they do not resolve. So that was my 30-second review of Passengers.
All right.
Even though the movie sucked, I still love Chris Pratt.
So I am complete on Sense8 now? To
you
this
have
point?
Reached completion.
I have.
To completion.
And we can talk about it because we've all seen it.
Yeah. The problem is that this movie was actually good.
Yeah.
So, like, we actually have a movie to talk about that's interesting.
So the movie we're talking about is Advantageous.
It was good. I enjoyed it a lot.
What'd you think, Kayla?
I liked it. I just, I liked it a lot, but I still felt dissatisfied. I was dissatisfied with how it ended. Like, I felt like it could have done more, but then I don't know what I'm even trying to say. Like, I felt like there were some really big opportunities that they didn't take with this movie, but then I can also just be like, okay, you did what you wanted with the movie, not what I would have hoped you to do. Like, that's your thing. It's a good movie.
The IMDb trivia says that it debuted at Cannes. That's all of it.
That's the only thing.
That's the only thing.
The trivia.
That's the trivia.
I thought it was okay. I kept...
Oh, shit. Maybe we won't be talking about this movie.
No. I think there's things to talk about. I kept expecting there to be different things happening. And... I don't know. I just thought it was okay.
Were you waiting for the trick?
No. Because I understood what I was watching within about the first 15 minutes. Like, I understood that this was hard sci-fi, and I knew I kind of had an idea of where they were going with it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I had a problem with it was it felt like when the movie was over, it was like, oh, this was a short story. This left me feeling like I finished a short story. So in the end, I was satisfied thinking of it that way. But while I was watching it, I felt like I was being cheated out of more
story.
More discussion
that,
about
yeah,
certain
that's exactly
things.
It. That's exactly
and
it.
And so, like, halfway through the movie, I'm thinking, man, this would make a really great TV series or miniseries event, like, you know, like 10 episodes, something like that, to really kind of flesh out and have discussions about the conflict
and the internal conflict. Because... basically, like, this seems like the first, like, a pilot episode of a series where the rest of it is her, who is not the person she was, but who is in the role of this other person. like, leading this life. And because there are so many points where I'm like, oh, that's something that they're going to come back to because that's an interesting point. They never do. So the rest of the series, the rest of the series could be her as this stranger, like in a stranger's life, dealing, navigating and dealing with all these things. Like,
right.
I can totally see that.
Or even give me like 3 or 4 episodes and tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me a couple of episodes with the person I think who's going to be the lead. And only by like the 2nd or 3rd episode, you realize we're not going to have this person as the lead very much longer. And she's going to switch.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be clever in terms of a television series because that's not... They don't tend to pull that switcheroo on you very much.
Yeah, I think
unless you get super famous people that they're going to kill off, and you know that because they're not going to work on TV for very long.
I'm going to immediately spoil this, so if you haven't
No, that's fine.
I think if they were going to do that, they couldn't. Like, if they were going to make like an 8-episode miniseries, episode 4 was when they'd have to pull the reveal of the original person dies.
Yeah,
like, and they would have to do like the whole world building thing where like. Yeah, this whole procedure is happening, but people are really fucked up afterwards. And, like, no one's just talking about how fucked up people are.
Right.
And then it comes out, oh, yeah, all those people that transferred are dead.
Yeah.
These are different people. Ooh, that'd be a good series.
Yeah, well, and I think...
Yeah.
Or I think you have season 1 end.
Oh, yeah,
with
yeah,
that
yeah.
reveal, and then season 2 is the repercussions of it and dealing with it.
Speaking of, did you finish season 1 of Leftovers?
I finished season 1 of Leftovers.
Did you start season 2?
Not yet.
Okay.
Because somebody was hounding me about watching Sense8.
Fucking Alex.
Yeah, that was it. I have not started season 2 of Leftovers, and I have not started season 2 of Man in the High Castle yet.
I haven't started that either.
Those are...
I gotta rewatch season 1 of Man in the High Castle because I remember what fucking happened.
Well, I just finished it. I finished season 1 in... November, early December. So, like, I'm right. It's still fresh enough for me that that's not a problem.
Your short story feels like the best encapsulation of how I feel about this movie. So, like, all of the broad stroke world building things, like all the little things that they just don't explain or talk about, but are still there, like the terrorist attack.
Yeah.
That they just never seem to mention. Or what, like, you never see... Other than the one poor girl, like, in the bushes, you never see the poverty.
Right.
Like, the devastating, like, the dangerous world outside of this cautious bubble that they live in, you never see it. Which, like, the threat was always there and kind of an undercurrent. People talked around it, but there was, like, zero exposition about it.
Which, that really lent itself to the short story feel.
Yeah, I mean, like, because the outlines were there, flavor. But they weren't colored in at all.
A sentence in every third paragraph that just adds flavor to the world, that just makes it feel like a more lived-in world,
mm-hmm.
which all of those little things did. It made it feel like you weren't just following this one person and her one
thing.
Tunnel vision story of just this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, there was a ton of implied shit that they just did nothing with, which, like, usually leaves me cold, but I actually did not mind it. Like,
I really liked the lack of exposition in most of it. Like, there was big things that they let reveal a little bit at a time. Like, her relationship with Lily and Lily's husband. Oh, wait. Oh, shit.
Yeah, they're in the middle of the argument, and then she's like... We had a kid, and I'm like, what? Whoa, wait.
I had a kid. We had a kid. Oh, shit.
Yeah, because I assumed the CEO guy.
She was sleeping with other dudes. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, because right in that conversation, I can't remember the main character's name.
Gwen? Or Jen.
Gwen and Lily are talking.
Yeah.
And Lily says something like, I already know. Like, we already talked about it. Like, she isn't... being specific, and it only hits you right when just like, we had a kid. The whole time I'm like, oh, all these pieces are gonna come together, like, all these, and I guessed it completely wrong. I assumed that the dude at the company was her dad.
Yep
me too.
I was there too. Yep.
Yeah, that's another thing.
And then this other guy just like runs in. And
Ken like, fucking Zhang runs in.
That was so weird. He pops up and I'm like, oh my god. Like,
I didn't even recognize him. That first scene when they're just on him for a really long time, it's mm-hmm. like, who is that? And then he like turns and it's like, oh, I know who that is.
I'm so used to seeing him in like
the Hangover.
Ultra comical roles. Like right. to see him like this is completely different.
Yeah, he was solid too. That whole hallway scene where they're all like crammed in there together is so awkward. It's so delicious.
And then like she's on the phone with her mom. And entire scene, I was like...
Then I assumed that the dad was her dad. It was like, I assumed that almost every male who showed up was the father.
There are very few male characters in this film.
Yeah.
There's two.
And the dad is implied. Like,
right. Yeah. Well, and there's the voice, but that's not a male.
Right.
Yeah.
That was really clever.
That was really cleverly done. Point where I was like, because I was kind of doing something on my computer and we had it up, and I was like, wait, what? What did he say? That her account has been flagged, and then she asked who flagged it, and he's like, oh, well, why don't you just ask me what my astrological sign is too? And she's like, what? And what? Like me and her had exactly the same. Wait, what?
Are you a real person?
Are you a human being? How do you define a human being?
What?
Why don't you just ask me my astrological sign? I'm sorry. Are you? Oh my god, I was so creeped out.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah, I mean, those were all just great examples of, like, the little storytelling tweaks mm-hmm. they threw in there, though. That they never followed up on.
Yeah. And at first, I thought the acting was bad. Like, it felt really stilted. A lot of the conversations felt really stilted and uncomfortable. But then I kind of got to the point where you realize, of all the dialogue of two people talking that happens in this movie, 20% of it is happening with two people in the same room at the same time. Very little of it is happening together.
Look at it from a technical aspect, there's a lot of like voice over or, you know, some sort of sound shenanigans that had to have happened for a lot of the dialogue to go on.
Well, yeah. I mean, even every time that the CEO dude, that guy's name was,
I don't either.
Anytime CEO that guy is talking, like, it didn't strike me until later that, like, when he does the video thing, you actually don't know who else is in the room with him. Because, like, that chick was just lurking off camera.
Right.
So, like, I just ascribed all of the weirdness in those conversations to him trying not to say anything incriminating.
Well, you pretty much also get the point where he's always talking to her at work. And that's when his communication is very stilted. Like, he knows he's being watched. When he pulls her out onto that pier and starts talking to her, he's like, he is completely different.
Yeah, don't do this thing.
Yeah. But, like, his mannerisms, everything is just completely different. He's much more fluid with his conversation.
That was another moment that I felt like did something really clever with. Because the first time you see that conversation, she ends it by saying, I want to get Christmas first or something like that.
I
assumed there was a father. But also when she said that, I was like, that is, there wasn't like a skip in the conversation, but I was like, that is such an out of place thing for her to have said. I don't understand why that was the next logical thing. But then later in the movie, they show that, that it was actually part of a much bigger conversation.
Yeah,
like, that
so,
was what we saw was a spliced.
That's what I thought it was, though, because, like, the shorthand of watching so much media, I'm used to there being a point in the conversation where they just kind of skip things and just, this is how we're going to gracefully end this conversation for you, the viewer, so that you're not bored with all the details. Kind of like how no one ever says I love you or goodbye when they hang up with someone on the phone. Ever. Mm. In any situation, even if it's traumatic.
I don't do that now anyway.
I do it all the time. okay.
Well, even it wasn't the fact that that was the ending point. Like, that was perfectly fine. I just felt that the conversation up to that point didn't warrant that response. I felt like it, that response fell out of place. But if you pay attention, like, knowing what I know now, because like, they go back to the conversation, there's actually, like, a part of the of a cut out in the middle there. So I felt that weirdness.
It felt off to me, but also right before that, he did tell her, he's like, you're going to have problems breathing for the first year. You're going to have to take shots every 2 hours. And he was explaining to her all the problems with the whole, he's like, this is not a finished technology.
And
then she says that, and I just assumed that
she thought she might die on the table.
She thought that she might die. Like, this thing would kill her.
What does that have to do with getting Christmas first?
That she wanted to spend Christmas with her daughter before she had
the last time. Oh, I didn't assume that.
Before she did the thing.
That's what my assumption was. I didn't go there at all.
Because in the first...
I was just assuming she was like, I want Christmases first because you're the dad. And for some reason in this whole weird thing that I have to accept, I also have to accept that you are now allowed... like partial custody of our daughter, who isn't even our daughter. It's my cousin's husband's
daughter. Yeah. So the CEO guy's name is Fisher.
Oh, Fisher.
Yeah, she kept saying it.
Her name is Gwen. Fisher.
Gwen.
Ken Jeong is Han. And the daughter's Jules.
And seeing how they manipulated her into doing this, like, it's obvious that it was their intention from the start for her to be this test subject. Like, I didn't catch on to that, and right until the woman was watching, like, trying to figure out what he's saying, she's like, what are you trying to hide? I was like, oh, you done did this. Like, this was your intention. And then, like, in retrospect, looking back at all the steps that they took, like, oh, it's so skeevy. And like,
in this, the final, the penultimate representation of the commoditization of women. All right, break.
I thought it was interesting too how they not only did they pick somebody younger, but they picked someone less ethnic, but not traditionally white.
Yeah, they could have gone completely bizarro opposite from her.
It was somebody just slightly more to the
off center.
Yeah.
White off, if white is center, off center.
Right.
Off white.
Off white.
Off white.
Yeah, I thought that too while I was watching it. And I'm glad they did that because
she had very strong features.
Yeah. I'm glad they didn't put like some blonde bombshell, you know, like I feel like that would have detracted from
the story.
Well, like, I would have understood that they did it, but there's like a subtlety to this story that I don't feel lent itself to going to that extreme. Like, I was thinking about this while I was watching it because I thought to myself, why didn't they do that? Like, why didn't they go to something like just completely like where's the fucking word I'm thinking of? Idealized. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like somebody who is like the epicenter of conventional beauty. Like,
well,
so my theory on this is twofold. One, this is the director,
right?
So I don't know. Like, she's obviously Asian, but I don't know if she's like American. Oh, she's Chinese Malaysian. So like,
I believe she's the writer too.
I also believe that is true. It is not true. Yes, it is. She's co-writer. So like,
She's co-writer with the lead actress, with Gwen.
Oh wow!
Yeah. The co-writers are Jacqueline Kim and Jennifer Fang.
So I'm assuming we're not actually shown a lot of the people who live in this, like this ultra civilized bubble. But the impression that I got from the rest of the world was that the rest of the world was just a fucking wasteland, just like poverty, like rampant poverty. And if they were taking the top 1% of whomever, like, Americans wouldn't make up a larger percentage of that. And, like, European and Asian standards of beauty are not American standards of beauty.
But a lot of the people in that catalog she was looking through were, I feel, on a much further end of the spectrum of, like I said, conventional beauty. Like, there were There were a lot of other choices in that catalog that could have been.
There were. And I think, I mean, I think
one thing I did notice is they're all brunette, which also lends itself to something set like
fucking awesome.
Far in the future, because like blondness is a recessive gene. So like, well, as we're all mixing and like
so
touching tips and stuff.
I have two thoughts on this too, because in a number of sci-fi stories that I've read, the writer has talked about basically the homogenizing of the races.
Mm-hmm.
Polyblasian.
Yeah, so where there's
white genocide, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, literally.
There's no white Caucasians, and there are no black Africans, like the dark Africans.
Mm-hmm.
It's 500 years in the future, as our cultures have emerged, the people have mated and
yeah, with their vaginas.
do the biology math. I mean, you start to get a different look.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And you get a look that's actually more uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You actually remove the strong racial features, which Gwen 2.0 doesn't have a lot of strong features
right.
in any direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, she's younger, but she also kind of still favors Gwen. It's not completely
that's
different.
That's what I thought, too.
This is a breakdown of the hair colors by population. That 84% is black hair, and then the 11% is brown hair. And then the other 5 is red and blonde.
Yeah.
So, like, if they'd picked a blonde, it would have been really, like, off-putting to me. Because the chick that they picked seemed very...
But there was still... There was still a blonde.
Like, universally
like,
average.
Wasn't one of her little friends a blonde?
Yes,
she was. Yeah.
And the Jules's boss friends. Lady was, if not blonde, she was, like, a strawberry. Or maybe she was completely gray. I cannot remember.
They show her in a dark room, and she's always very creepy. The actress has red hair from the look of it. But this is just the headshot on IMDb.
Headshot.
But I'm saying, like, I appreciate that they didn't go to a Eurocentric, like, because it isn't, that isn't idealistic. Like, that isn't realistic.
Well, you also have to kind of wonder if the character would have chosen someone that different from herself.
Right, right.
Like if I wanted, like if I'm going to choose a younger version of me.
Especially if she's conferring with her daughter.
Probably.
That's a good call.
As long as you worked out more.
I have a lot of exercise machines.
No, I mean, I would pick somebody that I thought favored what I look like now.
Right.
I like what I look like. I could lose a lot of weight, but I don't think I look bad, and I wouldn't necessarily want to change that. But if I could have a younger version of me, I'd make concessions to get close, And I think that might have been part of it. Plus, she's clearly in a business where she understands that her looks are a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
So she knew the score. I mean, he beat around the bush. He didn't come out and say it, but he's like, you're going to have to be a different person. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to look different. So pick somebody that favors you, but is a little less...
Asian,
yeah.
Hmm. We haven't talked about that kid once.
I feel like when the first time when they're in the park and the kid was like, I just don't understand any of it. Like that whole monologue she gives, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's why the kid was creepy.
That's creepy. I was like, no, I was like, yeah, I'm with you. I'm on board. Like everything you're saying.
No, it was creepy because like they were obviously some sort of
your soul.
Yeah, like some sort of genetic acceleration. Well, so like she had reached the ennui at 11.
Oh god.
13. Yeah.
13.
Whatever, how old she was, and I was like, oh, fuck, it's taking me 3 times as long to get there. This fucking kid.
This is what the future holds.
Then I'm like, oh my god, she's still got 40 years to go.
Nah, that just means she'll get past it by the time she's like 15.
I don't think she will. Low hopes for the future, but high hopes for the Packers. That's what I got.
I was leery of watching this movie because
you hate
Netflix.
Asians?
Netflix told me that this movie was rated 2 stars.
IMDb only has 3.
Yeah, but wasn't like Upstream Color also rated really low?
Yeah, yeah. So. And I think I'm seeing some common ground there in that
this is a
heady,
yeah,
hard sci-fi movie.
It's interesting.
It doesn't. It's not easy to just.
It also sit down has some pretty heavy feminist. I don't want to say genocide. Tones, but I mean there's
agendas.
Yes. That's my.
Those feminist snakes get me every fucking time.
So I think that a lot of people would be put off by that, just on principle. Like,
so educate me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God!
I don't understand what you're seeing as feminist under or overtones in this movie.
The entire story is based, like, it's all the problems that they're facing in the story are, they specifically attribute to women. Like,
sorry.
They specifically attribute to women, like, the problem with her getting old, like, everything they say is specific about women. She talks about how she doesn't want her daughter, whose name I can't remember.
Jules.
To become one of those desperate women who are aging and will literally do anything, which is what she did into.
Right.
Well, I mean, and there's a lot of conversation about reproduction, like, I guess a lot of women can't have children.
There was a lot of that.
So they talk about her possibly being an egg donor. I think Jules talks about how she has like a genetic disorder where she might not be able to have kids in the future.
Which is, I think, as an aside, it's an interesting solution to a problem that sci-fi sometimes leaves itself with when they have stories like this where you take an aging population and you figure out a way to make them younger. So, like, I've read stories where they've done that, but then all of a sudden you have ridiculous overpopulation because people aren't dying off. But new ones are still being
born. So their solution is
people can't have kids like they're used to, so we're just going to keep people around longer. We're gonna keep our population around longer.
Sorry, I'm still reading that feminist thing. Can't get past it, man, every fucking time.
There's the literal, like, value put on a woman based on her age, beauty, and body. Like,
yeah.
All of the lead characters are women.
Well, you have
female
writers, female director.
Yeah, I mean,
making a story that's female centric. Just those
facts. Even if they didn't, like, if there were no feminists,
Asian female writers, Asian female director, making a story that's Asian female centric.
Right.
There are very few non Asians in this movie.
Yeah.
There are as many non Asians as there
are. They're the evil men. People, actually. Well, Fisher is semi-evil. Like, he's working for the evil company, but he tries to help her. He works for the
evil company, but he's not...
Yeah, he's also like, this is going to kill you. Don't do it.
Please don't
like,
do this. Okay,
I'm going to do it anyway, because I got a kid.
I got a...
But not with you.
I didn't know.
Like, the one thing that I didn't get about this was, what the fuck did she see in Han? Because he seems like the biggest weenie. He seems like the biggest weenie, just... In terms of this story, like, there was...
He's a doctor!
I was telling Alex that story of the actor.
Yeah.
How he used to be a doctor, and then his wife died.
To be fair, he's still a doctor.
But yeah, but now he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna become an actor.
Yeah, well, he's just not cutting on... Now he's cutting on people for fun.
Yeah, yeah.
For
funsies.
Well, that's isn't the way everybody does it.
Yeah, but you have to make a certain amount of money not, like, a stress anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, even the men in this movie were not overly masculinized.
Right.
No.
Like, even Han.
Yeah.
He's, like, running around being a dad. He's like, I gotta go take the kids to soccer practice or whatever practice.
Listen, I just really don't want to go through this right now. It's a very emotional time for us. You just gotta get out of here.
Yeah, and clearly, the guy that even you were calling the CEO guy, he's clearly not in charge.
Yeah,
he's not. He's definitely not in charge. He's just the guy that they have, who is her handler.
I don't know what he does.
It's a weird thing.
I don't know what his purpose was. And seems to have phone calls.
And things like that is what really lend me to the short story model, because short stories give you a lot to talk about, and give you just enough questions to make it interesting without giving you a whole lot of answers.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to feel really dissatisfied with the way the movie ended. But, like, when I came to my self-realization that I'm going to treat this story like it was a short story, the pieces fell into place a lot more. Kind of like getting to the point in season 2 of True Detective where it's like, this is really just modern noir. Stop trying to relate it to season 1. Stop trying to relate it to procedurals.
Basically, it's noir. Your Stockholm Syndrome kicked in and you're like, this is not season 1, but I'm not going to stop watching it.
Well, I think I kind of got to that point at episode 9.
So, episode 9? I got to that point in episode 2. I was like, God damn it. I'm not going to get any more Woody and
fucking... Well, I never expected to get that.
McConaughey in a car... Matthew McConaughey's nihilism for 45 minutes and Woody Harrelson looking really uncomfortable the whole time. That was really the strength of True Detective.
I don't get nihilism.
And the hand jobs.
I don't. It's a concept that I just don't get. Like, I don't...
I can't explain it to you.
I understand what it is. I don't understand being a nihilist.
Maybe the abyss isn't looking back at you, Tony.
It's not.
Maybe that's the problem.
The abyss is like, I'm not going to fuck with
it. Do we have to watch Event Horizon again?
No. Jesus God, no. Is that nihilism? Because I think I understand it completely now.
Your reaction...
Is that fucking movie?
Your reaction to having to watch Event Horizon again is the encapsulation of nihilism.
Well, I get it.
You realize that, like, it has no purpose and you don't want to do it. Now just...
That's fair.
Just slide that a little bit off of Event Horizon and then onto life. Now we have arrived.
Yeah, see, that's...
The nihilism memes, though, Tony. They're so good.
Except that my whole thing is like, if you're that miserable, then why the fuck are you still here? Like, that's always been my thing, though. Like,
everybody poops, don't they?
Everybody poops, but not everybody has to whine about it.
I appreciate all of your nihilist memes that you post and that you like, but I don't post, like, I don't try not to like them because I feel like my family will get
worried.
Scared. I just sit at my computer. Yes.
You'll get the call. Yeah. Is everything okay?
Yes.
It's so good.
The door
that says we are here to help closed.
Another part of this movie that we haven't touched on, which I think they don't go into very much, but is lends itself to the the feminist ideology. And really, to me, solidified this world as, like, a really dark place to be. There are three things that happen in the background. There's one, you overhear a statistic of them talking about, like, 80% of children have experienced or are in some way involved in...
sex work.
Yeah, sex work. The fact that she will not allow her father to meet her daughter... They do not explain why. She just, like, will not. Then the other one, I don't remember who says it, but they're talking about how they're trying to convince women to leave the workforce because they don't want a bunch of, like, dissatisfied, unemployed males. And then someone says, they just talk about how dangerous that is.
Right.
Oh, it was the three chicks around the table.
Right, when she's going to
her lunch thing that she did.
See about the school
yeah.
with the other ladies.
the other ladies.
Like, you can't have men, like, walking the streets. It's dangerous for everyone.
Right, because we're not going to be a problem.
That's more or less true.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's part of the... It isn't an undertone. Like, I feel like it is very overt.
That point is far more overt.
Mm-hmm. I still felt like it was in the background so much that I only just now made the connection between, like...
No, that's good.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, that's good. Going along with the sex worker thing, the girl that she sees in the park with the mask, and she takes it off and you realize she's got to be like 13, 14 years mm-hmm. old. Within a year or two of her daughter's age, yeah. Which I think was the point we were supposed... Yeah, yeah. The point that she was supposed to get is like, holy shit. Because one of the questions I had was, why is she doing this? Why is she doing this to alienate her daughter?
Yeah.
That bugged me until you get to the point of realizing that she's doing whatever she can to keep her daughter from going down that path. And with that being the case, it's like, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
because at the same time that she's on the phone with her mom and she sees that chick take off the mask, there's also a terrorist attack right in front of her.
Right.
And then she's like, eh. Like, it's so commonplace that she's just like, eh.
Yeah, it's one thing for... Because she explains that she doesn't want her daughter to become one of those women who are just desperate and will do anything. Like she is at this point.
Right.
But then to also realize that there's much darker things going on in the world that she also wants to protect her daughter from that she doesn't explicitly state.
Yeah, so this is like a lot of, this is like the analog issues. This is the analog of, I'm a factory worker, I'm a miner, I will continue going down into the mine
mm-hmm.
to make enough money to send my kids to college so that they don't have to get
the black loan.
Exactly. This is a different extreme to that. Yeah. I'm going to sell my body literally so that my daughter doesn't have to sell her body sexually.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me? You said sell your body sexually, and then both of you stopped and are staring at me.
Well, we just figured.
Don't slut shame me. Well. My sex work is legitimate paying work.
As long as you're getting paid. As long as there's a transaction involved. I had no
contract,
problem.
Thumbprint involved.
This, yeah, there's a lot to chew through in this movie, and I didn't even realize it until you start talking about it. I'm having one of those Tony 2 moments. Do you remember when we were discussing? I always forget the name of that movie with
the guy from that thing,
the one that Alex hates. We talked about it last time too.
Star Wars?
No, it was not Star Wars. It was
Blade Runner.
Birdman.
Yep.
Birdman. We're talking about it. And Tony's like, you know what? You're right. Man, this is a good movie. I didn't even realize it. Like, I'm having that moment right now. Ah, damn. Like, there's so much.
This movie is better. Like,
on reflection.
It is. And I'm having a more enjoyable time talking about it mm-hmm. than when I was watching it. Which I think is kind of another thing that kind of points to the short story thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't, normally there's just a little bit enough to give you a taste and to let you speculate and build the rest of the world around it, which is kind of what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with all these little snippets of things like the terrorist attacks and...
Yeah, like with a long form movie like Inception, the only bit of it that you have to theorize about is the end.
Right.
But there's so many little chunks to this to unpack. That, like, you can do that theorizing, like, through the majority of the movie, which is fun. Also, we didn't talk about how the daughter tries to kill her. That's awesome.
When does she try to kill her?
She takes her drugs.
Did she hide the drugs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
she
took them,
and then she waited. And then she waited until she, like, couldn't breathe, and she's like, where's my mom?
Oh, shit. I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Where's my mom? I thought she was going to let her die.
Me too.
And then she comes and she's like, God damn it.
I'm only 13.
Why am I going to do this? I'm like injecting you shit. I'm like moving your body so you don't get like bed sores or like. Why'd you do this to me?
Plus, I think another thing that really worked in this movie's favor is that it was like with that really long end credits the film itself was only like 84 minutes.
Yeah.
It was a 90 minute long film, but like at the 6 minute, with 6 minutes left to go, the credits were rolling.
Yeah. They didn't this fuck
was
around,
a,
man.
This was a short film, yeah. Which was a longer film would have filled in some of those gaps unnecessarily.
Mm.
Leave that shit out. Let the story tell itself.
Yeah. There was a lot of good.
Like they could have had a 3 minute conversation in there or a series of little bits of dialogue that could have explained the terrorist attacks more or
unnecessary
anything.
Could have explained her thing with her dad.
Sure.
Also but, unnecessary.
Yeah, but could have there's a point where the relationships you listen in general to that conversation, and I don't think anybody like.
I already know my assumption is yeah. probably correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
the only debatable part about it is whether or not her dad is the dad. And I don't know if she was just lying to Ken Jeong. Because she sees that he's a good dad to those other kids.
That might not have explained her absence for so long. Except for the shame of sleeping with the other chick's husband. I did like her reaction, though. Where Ooh. She's... Lily's reaction when... She's saying, you know, I stayed away because I was ashamed because I had this child because I slept with your husband. And then Lily's reaction was, my husband slept with you. It's like, look, I've clearly gotten past it with him because right. we're still together. You've known for years that I've still been with him.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you abandon this friendship? I thought that was an interesting point.
Mm-hmm. And it was just heartbreaking to see, like, how she's, like, desperate in this moment of need. She's just been fired. Her kid needs to go to school to have, like, a future. And she literally can't find anyone who can help her or who will help her.
Right.
Her mom, her parents won't do it. Her Lily and what's his name?
Han.
Wouldn't do it until it was too late. So, like... There's just a whole bunch of tragedy there, like. And then the scene where I don't think there's any dialogue, it's just video where it looks like the new Gwen is telling Lily, like, hey, yeah, Gwen's dead. Like, she had to literally sell. She doesn't sell her body, like, she sells her consciousness. Like.
I mean, she dies, so.
Right. But what does she give to this new form?
Her memories.
Right, so, like, her consciousness, like...
But it's not really her consciousness, because she's not the same person. It's just her memories. Like, the body wakes up with her memories, but is also just a different person. I realize that's splitting hairs, but... It's not really splitting hairs, because it's kind of the point.
Well, Gwen is dead. You could have stopped this. I doubt she said it like that, but...
I bet she did exactly that. That drink she was drinking, it was huge. So huge...
But Lily, like, she has to make that connection. Like, yeah. She came to us like, at this time desperate, you know, and we didn't help her.
Like, that's a part of this that I want to watch again. Like, I want to watch the last half hour again.
Because
I wasn't completely clear or sold on the fact that this idea that it wasn't Gwen.
Really?
Yeah, they said it, but it just didn't.
Because what's like, his face? This Dan, is
who the first? I know, but this is also the point in Primer where they explained everything, and I had to draw a picture and go back and watch it three more times before I finally thought I understood it.
Well, you shouldn't have drawn a butt the first time.
I still can't explain it today how it works, but I know it does because I've drawn the picture. Yeah, I feel for myself. I want to watch it again because I just I didn't completely.
Well, here's what I want to know. I want to know why, if the spaceship is going half the speed of light, how it crashes into an asteroid field in a visible manner. That doesn't make any fucking sense, Tony.
Was this passengers?
It was. It doesn't make any sense. Half the speed of light is very fast.
It is very fast.
It's very fast. Yeah. You know what asteroid belt is not. Very fast.
Nope. I think you'd probably just see the ship and the asteroid just disappear. They just both wouldn't be there anymore.
The ship has an engine on the back.
Sure.
How does it slow down? It doesn't.
It has to turn around and go the other way.
I mean, no, literally. That's
decelerating. That's the only way
you can do it. It doesn't do that. It doesn't do that.
You're going to make me watch this movie.
I'm not. It's so bad.
You're doing it. You're doing it now. You're going to make me watch this movie just to see how bad it is.
It's so bad.
This sounds like it's as bad as Sound of Thunder was. That movie was
If you have rotational terrible. Gravity.
Sure.
You are spinning your ship.
Absolutely.
And you lose power. Your ship doesn't stop spinning.
Nope. No, it does not.
It just keeps spinning.
It should.
It just should keeps just spinning. Keep spinning.
There's
no reason for it to stop spinning.
Unless you're in orbit, unless you're in an atmosphere, there's no frictional forces on it to slow its rotation or speed. That sounds bad.
Basic Coriolis physics is driving me crazy.
They're counting on people not having taken physics.
The windows are all in the wrong spots. They don't make sense where they're positioned.
But Star-Lord and Katniss are in it.
They are.
And that's what they were counting on.
They are.
Is people that only thought of it that far.
You can't have a pool perpendicular to the hull.
What?
You can't have a pool perpendicular to the hull.
How did they do that?
They just had a pool, and then, like, the hull is here, and they have the pool, like, the water perpendicular to the hull like this. Only the spin gravity.
Yeah.
So, like... Like, the gravity would push you towards the wall, not the floor. The wall is the floor!
That's rough, buddy.
It was just too much.
That is rough.
Too much, Tony. Just couldn't...
Ugh.
Thank God I saw it by myself. Just thrashing around in my recliner. Alright, what else do we have to talk about for this movie? Because I lied.
I'm trying to see why... The rating on IMDb is so low.
The rating on Netflix is super low. 10, but 10, like 10, Rotten 6. Tomatoes, Rotten Tomatoes was like, I want to say it was like 80%.
Yeah, this is what interests me about this.
This is a 1 out of 10.
I wish that we had a reliable way to measure the quantity of exposition in a movie.
Ooh.
And then like correlate that with... Like generic movie review percentages.
Was this movie set in New York?
I didn't get that impression.
I don't know. They kept showing a skyline, but it was nothing that I recognized as New York. That it was like York.
Because this review says tedious Junipero? And pretentious.
Just San Junipero.
1 out of 10.
Wait, pretentious?
Tedious what? And pretentious. This tedious and pretentious film is simply a story about an Upper East Side matron who has lost her job while trying to get her daughter into an elite Manhattan prep school, glossed over with half-baked science fiction imagery such as CGI altered urban skylines, blah 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 blah.
The
blah.
CGI skyline was not great.
Yeah,
it was passable. I was watching it on my laptop, and looking at the skyline, I saw reflections change, like not in a natural way. It was, but I'm like, this looked like an inexpensive sci-fi movie. So I was very forgiving of that. That didn't
that
was not
exactly.
anything I would bother with.
Nothing with about that took mentioned. Me out of the movie
no.
such that I could not.
No, it was more the novelty of it. It was like, oh, yeah, this isn't a big budget sci-fi movie.
Yeah. Like, oh, I don't know why you spent any budget on this, but okay.
Right. Like, I was more satisfied with the ship's smashing into buildings and those actually looked pretty good.
From what I can see, the reviews that were really low on here didn't understand what was happening in the movie. The end of that one was like, and Gwen 2.0 goes about the rest of the movie trying to find money to like.
So here's a rare thing. I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes right now. The tomato meter is only at 80. Is it 80% with no consensus yet? Which means it has almost no reviews.
Oh, yeah?
15 total reviews. I think it has to have like 20 to 40 before they'll actually give consensus.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's got an 80% from critics. Audience scores 65%, which is unusual. Normally, the audience scores tend to be higher, tend to skew higher.
On such a heady film?
No. But most films are not this heady.
Right.
So I was looking at that, and I want to compare it to a movie like Primer.
I'm reading some of the discussion boards for, like, on IMDb about this. Claustrophobic cinematography.
Was
this intentional?
Yes.
Nearly the entire film is shot in close-ups.
Perfectly. Yep. Perfectly intentional. Especially that scene in
It's uncomfortable.
Especially that scene in the restaurant, in that hallway in the restaurant. Hallway. That was super claustrophobic.
It's so uncomfortable. Yeah, Primer, you're right up in it.
Primer has a tomato meter of 71% and an audience score of 80%. I feel people have come back to that one.
Like, a lot of these people can't get past the fact, like, they seem really hung up on this, like, if the transfer kills you, why do it? Like, they seem really hung up on this. How big is Ken Young's part? God, I hope this is a dick question. It's not.
Wow. Upstream color, tomato meter 85%, audience score 70%. And I would relate it more to Upstream Color.
Yeah.
Have you seen Upstream Color? Have you seen Primer?
No.
Upstream Color is
obtuse.
A rough watch.
It's a good movie, but it is
an uncomfortable movie.
It is bizarre.
I was not pleased with events that took place in that movie.
I still like the movie.
I still like the movie too, but I was displeased with events that occur in the movie. Was really glad to see Ken Jeong in a serious role. He's always typecast as the goofy Asian. Yeah, he was actually pretty good. Like, you can just see, like, when they're in that fucking hallway, and then she starts going, and then he's like, we had a kid. He's like, oh!
He did not look like... He looked like if he could, like, phase into the wall and just merge into the... Yeah, just...
All right, kids, time to go to practice. Dad, we just came back from practice. Time to go to practice. Everybody in the car.
Everybody needs more practice. I'll practice. Let's go.
He was like the literal, like the personification of.
So that movie that I was talking about earlier, Sound of Thunder, since I was on here, I just looked. The tomato meter on it is 6%.
Oh, yeah.
Audience score, 18%.
Nice.
That movie is fucking terrible.
I just, unless it's egregious, I don't tend to get caught up on CGI effects. Like I understood what they were trying to do with the skyline. It served a purpose.
Oh yeah.
The only time CGI effects really bother me are when they're trying to portray humans and they're in the Uncanny Valley. Like that's like Leia. for a movie that is Leia. So much more story than it was about like about effects of any kind.
Oh,
it was so much more story than it was even about being science fiction. Like, I just didn't get hung up on it. And that seems to be a couple people have a problem.
I think this is the kind of movie that if you really get hung up on it, out of a movie that has nothing to do with the special effects.
Right.
This movie had no action scenes, no fight scenes, no chases, no ship-to-ship combat, no someone getting into a hover car and flying off. We never saw any of that.
Mm.
Therefore...
Terrible movie.
Therefore, the CGI shouldn't matter a fucking bit. If it was a hand-drawn cartoon of somebody... I would have been...
Or a Grand Moff Tarkin for 45 minutes of a two-hour movie.
I still don't understand your problem with that.
It was just unnecessary.
I think it was fine.
I've never seen a 6-foot-tall masturbation walking around the Death Star, blowing up planets.
The name of this review is, You're Not You When You're Hungry.
There's so many little things in here that, like, I didn't even remember. Like, she rents the apartment, she rents that little closet, and then she just sleeps in it.
Oh, yeah, like the solitude
thing
where he's like, do you need company? And she's like, no.
No.
I completely forgot about that. She's just like, I just need to check out.
Yeah, there were a ton of just little moments that were very quiet moments too. There was a lot of silence in this movie.
Yeah.
I gotta stop reading these discussion boards. This is getting this discussion is kid's father? Spoilers? Question mark?
But the main character slept with Lily's husband? I guess Ken is the baby's dad based on how he says he hates his past self or when she said, we have a child.
And then he's like, oh no, she was sleeping with a bunch of guys. And she's like, nope, I just said that.
Well, maybe you're just saying that we had a kid.
No.
So this movie doesn't even appear on Box Office Mojo.
Her husband cheated on her with Gwen. That's not the implication of that conversation. The implication of that conversation is that they fucked before the other two got together. That's what I took out of it.
I took out of it that they were friends. There
was infidelity.
They were married. She fucked him. That's why she disappeared.
She said, I slept with your husband.
Yeah.
Not, I slept with your to-be husband.
Yeah. Well, I slept with your
fair, that's boyfriend. Awkward to say.
Fiance.
Right.
I slept with him before you guys met. None of that was... If she slept with him before they were together, I would have expected that to be part of the conversation as if she was trying to make some kind of...
Yeah, that would have been Lily. That would have been Lily coming back like, yeah, we weren't together then. Like,
right. I think you're right. Because the way Lily reacted to the... Yeah, he was... Lily said, you slept with my husband.
No, my husband slept with
you. My husband slept with you. Yeah. So
she doesn't come back and say that was before we were married. Like,
because I was looking up, I was trying to look up budget information for this movie, which normally Box Office Mojo is a pretty good source for it. But this movie's not even on it. Oh, that's why this movie was never in theaters. It was released exclusively to Netflix.
Really?
On June 23rd, 2015.
It's a tough film to summarize, in part because I had a few drinks throughout.
What are you doing in this discussion? What the fuck was that movie that you got drunk during and passed out through part? Was that
I still haven't seen it. It's
the one with Meds in it? Didn't you pass out during
The Med? Hunt.
The Hunt.
I must have passed out in the middle.
Oh my god, that's right! It's a completely different movie for him. What part did you miss?
I missed the part where...
It was like a key point.
Yeah, where they were like...
He gets exonerated?
Like, yeah, like, he's like, oh yeah, he's definitely not a pedophile. I must have missed that whole scene. And then I'm like, god damn, this pedophile is fucking shit up in this town.
That's shitty what they did to the dog, but it's a pedophile's dog, so fuck that dog.
No, that was not cool. I should have checked that fucking movie. As soon as you see a dog. As soon as you see a dog in the movie,
you need to go to
Does the dog die?
It's something like that.
Oh, I gotta bookmark this. Hissing feminists. I look.
Yes.
They don't sell the shirt. They don't sell a shirt with it on there. They're up on the fucking ceiling. The guy's got a pitchfork. She's like slithering out of the bed. All right, Tony. Because Alex isn't here, what do you think of Sense8?
I liked it.
Go on.
I liked how the stories wove together more.
As time went on.
And I liked how, like, there was, like, the questions weren't, oh my god, who are you? How are you here? It was like, oh, where are you from?
They're kind of getting used to it right now.
Yeah. Where it's not weird for them. Where it's like, now, and I liked that, how does he pronounce his name? Van Damme.
Caffeus.
I like how Caffeus just kept assuming someone would be there to help him.
Spirit of Vendom!
And then he get the fucking shit kicked out of him. I actually really liked that. Like,
Korean Vendom!
But then he oh, I'm gonna have to do this on my own, and just went into it, you know? I really liked, I didn't care for Wolfgang's story.
His personal story is just kind of like a made-for-TV, like...
Until the end. I liked it when it got toward the end. Like, some of his story was just like, are you fucking kidding me? This is ridiculous. Like, where in the fuck did he get a rocket launcher?
Yeah.
I was 100% on board with
yeah,
it.
Oh, when
he pulled it out, I was like,
in the moment, I'm like, yeah, sure, he blew up the car. Then I was like, wait a minute. Where the fuck did that come from? I liked how his friend didn't die. Because I kind of expected him to be dead.
Yeah, me too.
The best part in the entire show is absolutely when Will is trying to get into that base and he needs to be able to lie. And
who are you?
What's his name? Lito shows up and he's like, do I know you? Yeah, we had sex. He's like,
Will's reaction to that was really great.
That is my absolute favorite moment in the movie, other than when Wolfgang is naked and Kala passes out at the altar.
Yeah.
Not an altar. But I don't know what.
Or you are a demon.
but you are looking.
I really liked how in the scene with Wolfgang in the hot tub and where they all had mm-hmm. sex, he didn't physically
he doesn't
react.
Even move.
He doesn't move at all. Where all of them are like, Caffeus was the best.
Was he in that scene?
Caffeus isn't in that scene.
Not the first one.
Not the first one, but he's there.
Oh,
because he's not there.
Oh, yeah.
But they show immediately afterwards, and he's watching Van Damme, and he's like, it's like, what? Why am I hard? Like, he doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
But his reaction is like, yeah. What's going on with me and Van Damme here? I dug that. I liked all the characters. Wolfie, he took the longest to grow on me.
Wolfie.
He took the longest to grow on me. I liked him as a kid more than I liked the adult. I liked his backstory with him and his buddy growing up and why is he so loyal to this guy? I liked getting that story and understanding why. Call him Conan.
Get the fucking pipe. I don't like the new Caffeus. New Caffeus bothers me.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed that the old Caffeus had a problem with...
They're not saying exactly.
Yeah,
but...
With whatever there was a problem.
I'm betting it had to do with the big sex scene. Because he wasn't in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, he left in the middle of the first season, but he'd already filmed all of his shit. Or so the blog that I just read said.
Well, I mean, they were mostly...
He is so good in that role. Like, he is really good. Yeah. And it sucks that whatever problem he had... Allegedly...
Well, in the first season, he didn't have to interact in a sexual way with any other men.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens
in the winter episode.
The winter episode.
Well, do you think that he was supposed to do that in the first orgy scene?
I don't know.
And that he just wouldn't do it. And then when they got a new actor for Caffeus, he's like, yeah, I'm DTF.
Yeah,
like,
have you fucking seen Leto?
I don't know. I would hope that they didn't actually plan on him being in that scene. Just because I think it's more clever the writing was he wasn't there, but he had the reaction to it.
Yeah.
So.
And the characters they did have in it were... Like, appropriately. Because it's mostly men.
Soon isn't in it. Kala isn't in it.
I kind of feel like Sun or Soon or... I always thought it was Sun.
I can just call her Sun.
Yeah.
She felt asexual to me. Like, with the exception of her telling her story about the guy in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's like, sex just didn't seem to factor into who she was or any of her motivation.
I just thought they just kept wrestling into the locker room.
Mm.
Yeah.
Suna like, always just like...
She was so just fucking
shows
bad.
Up. She just shows up and takes care of things.
Yeah.
She's like, tell them they're going to need more men. And you believe it. Like, in other movies, they're you're gonna, like, that's ridiculous. More, yeah. But yeah. with this, you're like, yeah, they there's, really
there's
do.
Four, there's four guards. Yeah. They're going to need more.
That's one of the best episodes. Smart money is on the skinny bitch.
Or the part where they're like, he's like, you won't kill, like, you won't risk killing everyone. He's like, no, but I know someone who will. Someone. And then it's just Wolfie. He's like, all right, all right. That's fucked up, Wolfie.
I really like the episode where Wolfie and Leto were switching off. Like, I lie.
Yeah.
I fight.
Yeah.
That was good. I really liked that.
It's really beautiful the way they filmed and scripted all those scenes where they're going back and forth. Like, the cadence to it is just, it was just really
Yeah, something. So this is what I loved about the show. Like, technically, it's garbage. Like, time is just
doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make any fucking sense.
Like, it can't be.
Their physical interactions... Their physical interactions when two of them are in the same place at the same time
make no sense.
Infuriate me. Like, that bothers me.
It never makes any sense. But any time that they do that, like, it's not... The storytelling is never physical. It's all emotional storytelling. And the emotional storytelling is always so good.
No, it's not. There was that scene... What? There was that... There's a scene...
If this is about Kala...
Was it about Kala?
Hers is the worst story.
No, I liked Kala's story.
Get the fuck.
And it actually wasn't. It was. I think she showed up in somebody else's scene. It was when they needed medication.
That wasn't. Yeah.
She's rifling through as he's bringing the other person in, laying them down, holding them. She's pulling meds out and bringing over, handing them to him.
Listen,
and.
It was a D&D adventure. They needed somebody who had the heal skill.
That one bugged the shit out of me. Because it was like, you're doing too many things with one person. One person can't do all these things at once.
Yeah, I always forgave him I always just accepted the magic hand waving of one person doing all that shit.
I didn't let it bother me. Once I got to about three of those scenes where it happened, it's like, I can't, I'm just going to have to put this aside. Otherwise, I'm not going to watch any more of it.
My heart was in Mexico the whole time, Tony. I'm sorry. I can't lie to you.
Well, that story was good.
That story was really good.
My heart was in that prison with Sun.
Sun was everywhere but
punching
that prison.
Those, yeah, she was.
Punching those punching fucking those walls.
Fucking walls.
Jesus Christ.
Like when Wolfie's like... Well, you know, if you ever need any air, Sun's like, no.
Nope.
Nope.
I'm good. Yeah, because those two, like, don't really have a use for each other. Yeah. Like, they both have a similar set of skills. So, like, and I thought that was illustrated beautifully in that moment where he's like, if you need someone to fight, she's like, nah, I'm good. If you need some air, nah, I'm good.
They all have different, like, their fighting skills are different. Like, and it was, they did it really well in that fight. So there was a fight scene toward the end where the body was switching back and forth between Sun, Wolfie, and Will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they, because Sun is very martial.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the martial arts training. So it's very acrobatic and skilled in that way. Wolfie is a street brawler.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a thug.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking scene where the Mexican dude just punches him and he doesn't, he just takes the fucking punch and he's just standing there. So fucking good.
Yeah.
And then Will has, and then like, Will the police is, training.
He's got police training and weapons training. Like, anytime a gun shows up, Will's got that shit.
And his goddamn dad is Joey Pants.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. Like, the first time we saw him in the flashback, I'm like, is that Joey Pants?
It's Joey Pants. That's him.
Well, Wolfie and Sun definitely have they're different fighting styles, definitely, and they have different applications. But between the two of them, they don't have need for each other.
Yep.
Like, Will has combat training, but his skills in it aren't as advanced as Sun or Wolfie, so he still needs them. Like he's more of like a tactical sort of person, but Wolfie and Sun don't really have a use for each other because they're just gonna beat people up the way that they beat people up.
Right.
Yeah, that like that. I mean, that they have a good Will and Sun have a good compliment to like that scene in San Francisco when he's like, this guy's gonna go for his gun right here. That guy's gonna call it in. He's gonna reach for this wrist right here. Yeah, and then Sun just
plans it out, and then Sun.
That was really good too. Well, he knew what police procedure was too. Right. These are the way police are trained.
Right.
Yeah, I like as when they start doing the crossovers more and more often. Like the crossovers is when it's the best.
Yeah.
And as the series progresses, they do it more and more, which makes the series better as it goes on.
And I really liked Kala's story.
I did too.
Start to finish.
I did too. Alex and they don't know what they're talking about.
It's boring.
It's different.
She only ever interacts with one person. Mm. And I understand you and Wolfgang and Kala have a situation. But there's also six other people.
They're adorable.
Get the fuck out of
here. Wolfgang and Kala are adorable.
I ship them so hard.
That fucking scene where they're both fucking in the bed. It's so fucking good. Why are you here?
I love the way he just looks. He's like, yeah.
You must want to see this.
You can go whenever you want.
I don't know how this works exactly.
What must that chick that was riding him have been thinking when he's like turned over here and talking to someone who's not fucking there? Because they do establish that wherever they're at, whoever's speaking is actually talking out loud.
Or making out.
Yeah. Will, stop.
What are you doing?
Like you think after that happening once, he would know to like not, but he continually does that.
He did it once in the apartment and his partner busted him. Then he does it outside in like a crowded street. What are you doing?
Or Wolfie when he's rolling around in the snow.
Yeah, that was funny. Definitely my least favorite part of the show is Will and
Riley.
Like,
that
I
seems
just
to be the one that they pushed really hard.
Yeah, it was just too contrived. Like, the rest of it seems natural.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand. I was more on board with it until we got Riley's story at the end of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why is she looking for any solace at all?
Right.
When she clearly just wants to escape everything.
Right.
I mean,
story by itself is interesting. Like, her as a character, she's interesting. She has nothing to offer the other characters, though. She is not... She steps into DJ for Kala on the birthday party. Finally. That is, like, the only thing that she does. Like, everybody has a purpose and helps out the team. And she's just...
DJing it up. If anybody needs to hop on over and smoke some weed.
Right.
That's what I'm offering.
I loved her dad, though.
Yeah.
Oh, God, her dad was my favorite
character. The entire time, I'm like, this guy is the creepiest dude in this fucking show. And I just kept waiting for him to, like... I kept waiting for something to go awful. And then it never did.
Well,
he's like
awful...
the creepiest, least creepy person.
I know.
Like,
I didn't see him as creepy.
He's like a ghoul.
He's a ghoul.
He looks like a... He's the ghoul. He's so ghoulish. But he's also so nice.
He's so nice.
He's so nice.
And once you understand what Riley's been through, you understand why he is so nice. Like,
I think he was always that way.
Right. But like he seems like creepy nice. Like, why is he so nice? Why is he so nice? And why is she kind of like, I didn't understand why she would reject him and walk away from him and walk away from that life that he was. None of that made any sense. Why was she into drugs and DJing and all this other stuff? Until we find out why.
His creepiness is almost 100% to do with his physical appearance.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, it doesn't match his personality.
No, at no point does he ever do anything
creepy. Which is so
creepy.
Warm and, like, happy.
I don't think... I never got that impression that she walked away. Like, I think she left, but... I don't think he ever got the impression that like she had abandoned him. I think he was like, it was, yeah, I kind of get
it. She needed to get away. The fuck out of Dodge. Yeah, she needed to get away from that space.
Well, yeah, he says that, right? When he calls her, he's like, I understand why it's so hard for you to come home.
Right, but I didn't understand why. Like, I was trying to piece together why. And I kept thinking it had something to do with Mom.
Yeah, it's
because she wasn't really in the picture. So I kind of always assumed it was something to do with her. And, like, I was totally fucking lost during that whole episode. Like, I didn't understand what the fuck was going on.
Which episode?
The episode where we find out that Riley had the baby. And
it takes a long time for them to give you the full story.
I was really lost. And, like, I felt more lost in that episode than I did in the first episode.
Yeah.
First episode was...
Having rewatched it, like, 3 times now, they actually, like, they sprinkle in the majority of her story throughout the entire season.
Sure.
And so, like, when you finally get there, you're like, ugh, finally, just get to the fucking point where you actually do the whole thing, because I'm tired of seeing, like, each of these chunks over and over again.
Yeah.
The scene where they're all remembering the moment they were born is really beautiful. And the scene, I think it's in the holiday special, where they're all celebrating their birthday.
Yeah.
I know, there's just something like really, like, that got me really pumped up about watching that.
So that was one thing that did take me out of this. I have to admit, the fact that their birthday was fucking 8/8. Are you fucking kidding me? It was August
8th. I didn't even know.
I was born on August 8th. So was I. Are you fucking kidding me? I paused it. I literally paused the movie. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Seriously? You're going to be that fucking spot on. The Sensates. The Sensates. That was that. That did throw me out.
The DJ thing for Riley threw me out. Just like, oh, finally, Riley has something to do.
And in that the special, like, she's always telling Will, oh, just this one time, it's for a special occasion. Oh, it was the first, like, moment we took breath. Oh, it's Christmas. Like,
yeah.
Like, no, put him, like, get the drugs in him. This is your plan. The one thing that was driving me fucking crazy during the last episode of the season before the holiday was how, and maybe someone can explain this to me, how come killing this guy is not, like, at least plan. Option B. Like, at least option B. Why is everyone's like, there's nothing we can do but, like, die? And he's like, no, I could also live the rest of my life drugged out of my mind. Why don't we take out the problem?
Why don't we set this
We've
up?
We've killed a bunch of people.
Yeah. They've clearly not had problems.
Hey, get Wolfie up here. He'll get take Wolfie, care of Wolfie. It.
Get Son. Go rocket launch your son out of that prison.
We got business to take care of.
Oh, and I love how in the holiday special, they're just kind of like nonchalantly like, oh yeah, we're working on getting you out of there. You've been helping all of our issues and doing this for us. That's also a thing happening somewhere.
We haven't talked about her much, but I really like Nomi.
Yeah.
Like, really like Nomi. I like her story. I like her girlfriend. I like her girlfriend's family.
Mm-hmm.
Nomi's mom needs to die in a goddamn fire. Mm-hmm. But
I wished they had made Nomi's family more a part of her story. Like, me and Adam have talked about this extensively.
My problem with Nomi's story is that Nomi doesn't have a story. Her story is the meta plot.
When there could have, like, as... When we first started talking about this, I had just gotten to the episode where she's in the hospital. And I'm like, no, there's totally a story there. Because I assumed they were going to go forward with the story on her family and, like, how they misgender her and how much of a problem that is. Like, fully, like, develop that plotline. But they never pick it up again. Yeah. The rest of it is just her
running. Yeah, and the meta plot.
Right. Which, I don't know, maybe they'll do more with that. I don't know if they just didn't want to overload, like, it with transgender issues. Like,
I don't think they have had a single problem overloading it with diversity the entire show.
But I don't... For the story that they're telling, there hasn't been a good reason to give you that backstory yet.
She talks about it with Leto, but that's like really the only time
that it actually comes up. It's more she's giving Leto her coming out story just to make him feel more comfortable.
But if the roles had been switched with Kala, Kala was given Nomi's skills as a hacker instead. Kala's storyline is less intensive than what I felt they could have done with Nomi just by herself. Because Kala doesn't have a lot to do with the meta plot. Neither does Leto. Like, they come in once in a while, but they are busy dealing with their shit. And I feel like they could have... Like, Nomi could have been her own subplot. She comes in and help. Maybe she's the chemist. And she throws a bomb in once in a while. but I really felt like they could have pushed her story a lot more.
Told you.
See, I don't look at... Like, I look at Kala's story in terms of how she fits into the group.
Mm-hmm.
She really seems to be more...
How Wolfgang fits into her?
Kind of. It's more about how she is humanizing Wolfgang,
mm-hmm.
which
and he's demonizing
is,
her
is actually a little problematic.
Yeah,
I mean, it is a little problematic with how diverse and woke the rest of this is.
Yeah,
that if her purpose is to keep Wolfie from being feral, from being a wolf. That's a problem. If that's her purpose.
You mean it's a little tropey, like
it's a little weak. Disney princessy?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
She's,
like,
she's marrying the prince who
you mean fucking Aladdin over there?
He is kind of a prince.
He is a prince.
I mean, and I like how he's actually a nice guy.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
That he's not a complete asshole.
She has all these, like, doubts, but they're, like, real-life doubts that are just, like, I don't know if... Like, he's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with him. I just still don't...
I just don't like him.
Right?
I don't like him.
even in the end where he's, like... Where she's, like, you know... I know this is all part of the plot. That you need me, who's someone who's religious, to...
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, no. I like you. Yeah, I want to be with you. And man, I felt really bad for that guy when he broke his dick.
And then he's finally like, honeymoon. I don't know about this anymore. My dad got stabbed. That was fine. You fainted on our wedding day. Yeah, that's sure. Okay. This.
Yeah.
This.
This is the line. Yeah. This is the 5.5-inch line. The little Maharaja.
We have to wait till May for more episodes.
I wonder what they're going to do with the new season.
Hopefully,
kill that fucking guy.
5-5.
Kill that fucking guy.
I don't understand why that was. Like, why they didn't even come up with a reason why they can't do that. Like, that was my first instinct.
Because Will's been too drugged out, and he's the one who would come up with the plan. Their tactician is down. Yeah.
Their tactician is down.
Why isn't Wolfie there already?
Here's what we haven't discussed. That is a fucking tragedy. We've not discussed Bug once.
Bug is... I love so Bug.
Fucking good.
Mike!
Nomi! I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, buddy.
Buddy!
I do you, but not in a degrading way.
That guy was so fucking good. What's Wolfgang's friend's name? Shit.
Conan?
No... I want that guy and Bug, and
I'd watch that buddy cop.
I want to watch those two and Riley's dad drinking together.
They have a similar sort of aesthetic.
I would watch a whole episode of those three guys just drinking and telling stories, because you know they've all got really good stories.
Felix.
That's right.
That dude's name is Max Muff. Just so we're all clear.
Why is he not a Merkin salesman?
Why don't they just name him his actual name?
No.
I don't know how to pronounce this in Korean, but the actress who plays Sun, her first name is Bae.
Yeah.
B-A-E. How weird is that? Like, to have been born that before it was a thing, and now all of a sudden, like, in popular culture, like, everything is bae. Like, god damn it.
She was also in Cloud Atlas. The Wachowskis yes. love her.
Yeah.
Oh, they yeah? put her in, like, everything they do now.
She is fantastic, so I don't...
She's really good. I really like her story, too.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, my God. That whole
story is great.
Whispers is fucking Bob from the Dresden TV show. That is the worst.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep, like, that makes sense.
Yep.
I was into Sun's storyline before, like, it starts and she gets all that, like, misogynistic treatment. And she's a VP of the company. And I'm like, okay, yeah. you know, that's a storyline I can be down with. And then I didn't know how on board I was until she punches that desk in front of the assistant. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Wait, what's going on?
And she's in the car and she gets out and she goes to the fucking underground fight ring.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. Yeah,
smart money's on the smart skinny money bitch.
He offers to let him buy his dignity and leave.
You forfeit your entry fee. Small price for your dignity. Ugh. The heavy-handed Caffeus reintroduction in the winter special was... The
how they kept showing him in shadow.
I thought it was so funny. Like, I just thought it was so...
It's still the same, funny. But with a different face. Oh, come on.
Over no. and over. Just, I thought they went past the point of absurdity with it, though. Like,
yeah, where they were we know.
I just thought it was so funny. I was like, show his fucking face.
You kind of have to wonder if that was the Wachowskis just
taking a jab at it.
Hanging a lantern on it and just be like, yeah, we know.
Mm. Yeah, I was wondering. I was asking Adam if they were going to do like a Charmed thing. You guys didn't watch Charmed,
did
you?
No, I did not.
Mm-mm.
There's one point. What's the name of that actress? She was big in the 90s.
Shannon Doherty?
Yes.
What?
She got cut from the cast.
Right.
Because she was having difficulties. The whole show is about these three sisters, like the three. Like everything's in threes. 3-3-3, 3-3-3. And then Shannon Doherty isn't going to be in the show anymore. So they're like, oh. By the way, you had a fourth sister that nobody knew about, and this other one died, so 3-3-3.
The Roseanne show did something where, the one daughter left for a while and came back. She came back, she's like, the first reaction is, where have you been? It's like, you look different. Did you do something?
When Chris Pratt comes back, Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
I just stopped drinking beer. Stop
drinking beer.
The mural behind Wolfgang's uncle's desk is the mural from the opening of The Leftovers.
Yeah.
How?
I thought that was something very specific for The Leftovers. I didn't realize it was a thing.
Yeah, it's actually a thing.
Hmm. The one that moves?
I mean, it doesn't move. The camera pans through it. It may move.
It moves. So another thing that I noticed with this when I was watching it on Netflix. So I'm watching it on Netflix.
You hate diversity?
No.
You and Alex?
Like,
it's not as fun when he's not here.
I would pause an episode right as the credits would start. And I would come back to the next one. And it would be like I was in the middle of an episode. And I noticed that I'm like 2 minutes in. Netflix has started skipping the intro credit. For certain shows. So because this one doesn't have like a cold open, then the intro credits, and then the rest of the episode, like it just would skip those 2 minutes. If I had watched, like if I stopped the next day, started watching again, it would show me the intro credits. But if I was watching 2-3 episodes in a row, it would just completely skip those 2 minutes.
It never skipped it for me.
Because it knew I was, like it knew I was binging, so it would skip those bits. I just thought that was cool. Maybe it was just from the website because I was watching it on my laptop.
I was watching my Apple TV.
Or maybe it's some new thing that they just added. I don't know.
I've been watching a lot of shows recently. I watched all of iZombie.
All of the first season?
All of the first two seasons.
Oh.
They're both on Netflix right now.
Third season has not started yet.
I believe it starts on the 20th.
What'd you think?
It's all right. It is a police procedural with zombies.
Yeah. I it's fine.
It's fine is the kids, the most apt description.
The kids like watching it, and I appreciate what the actress does every week, being a different person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's at least different.
Yeah.
Because, like, the shitty Freak of the Week plot is always boring as shit, but, like, that's a nice twist on that. And I like to see the various ways that she prepares brains.
Yes, that is clever.
I like it's how, always like a 2-minute thing of making brains.
I love into the something. I love the joke how at the end of the second season where they're at that rave in the parking garage and mm-hmm. Rob Thomas is in it.
Yeah,
and Rob Thomas is also the producer.
Yeah,
but they're different guys.
Yeah, that's a different Rob. Like, they get the actual Rob Thomas and like the producer Rob Thomas.
I thought that was really clever
how they did that. They're all eating Rob Thomas's brains and they're playing the guitar.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
I got nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, me neither.
And I still need to record for Luke. So
you didn't record for Luke already?
No.
I did mine in the Wattoverse voice, and it hurt so bad. I actually had to rewrite some of Luke's dialogue to make it shorter.
Wow. I encourage Elena to do the vampire with a Boston accent.
It was super fucking funny.
It was
the fucking... Doc Ots.
The Doc Ots.
The Doc Ots and necromancy.
We're sitting here, and like, I'm reading along as she's doing it, just so I can, you know... judge if she's doing it right so we can do re-recordings if necessary and stuff. So she's reading along and I see Dark Arts of Necromancy, and I don't make the connection until out of her mouth comes the Dark Arts of Necromancy. And I mean, it was everything that I had to cover my mouth just to keep from laughing out loud. It was so fucking hilarious.
That's really funny.
Oh, that's good.
Because she had contacted me privately about it earlier in the day. She's like, so I'm trying to do this accent. I was like, well, what accent are you trying to do? Well, like, I'm trying to do like this British accent. I'm watching videos of Galadriel from Lord of the Rings, because I'm trying to do that, because I'm
getting the
because she's supposed to be like a vampiress and supposed to be like this thing. And I was like, nothing says that a vampiress has to be like British. It's like, this is a fantasy world.
I would assume a vampire would be Eastern European.
Well, see, and that's
racist.
That it's well, see, and
what
that's
about
a common,
Blackula?
What does it have to?
What about Blackula?
Most common accent for vampires is Eastern European.
Sure,
that's
really amazing. Bad Eastern European
really
at that.
Bad.
So I was like, why don't you just do Boston? And she's like, how would that even work?
What I'm saying is, like, British isn't even the common thing for vampires, so why not go like out of the box?
I said,
you're already out of the box, like, go.
I said, first
run free.
If you're gonna practice it, if you're gonna practice it, just practice reading it,
right?
Just practice reading it out loud in whatever accent you want, but just practice without an accent first, or practice with one you're very comfortable with. It's like, do a Boston accent. She's like, what? It's like, oh, come on.
I'm uncomfortable with the fact that you're encouraging people to do Boston accents.
Mostly for you.
That Watto voice hurts, man. I can't. I got halfway through one. I just started coughing, and I was like, God damn it. Start over now.
I'm just going to go really bass and talk really slow. I'm a tree. Yeah.
My guys were lumberjacks that got killed by trees. The trees were alive.
No, I was looking at some of Andrew's lines, and like I was reading the lines because some of them were ridiculous, and I was reading them and going, these are ridiculous lines. I can totally hear Andrew just just rolling right out of his mouth, because he was so good when we were doing Backseat Box Office. He would just start talking about the most random shit, and like, I don't even know who I'm talking to right now. Like, both him and Deuce, they were the same way with that.
How
he could just, like, he would just start talking about something. It's like, how can you say the words that are coming out of your mouth without laughing?
Yeah.
And just keep going. Like, it wasn't just one-liners. He would just keep going.
Yeah, Deuce is good at that.
All right.
All right.
I actually have to drive this week, so I can't take a nap in the car.